Okay.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's get learning. So what we're up to now, what we discussed and analyzed is basically three positions on the question of the Shir Hahana in Malchus. For those who think that you're that Hanana is Loke, right, basically everybody except for the Rambam, it would seem. What is the Shir Hahana? We saw and analyzed three positions. Number one, Shveputa, that was the position. There was one Sada Safik in an Erie, and that's the position of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Then we saw the possibility that it would be Kolshehu, which is the second Sada Safik in the Erie. And then the third possibility, which several Achronim mentioned, the Mishnah Melech, the Tzlach, and the Nechusinuch, they all promote, is the idea that it would be Kezias. And as I say, we discussed and analyzed much of the issues concerning these three. But there are several outstanding issues that I did want to touch upon. First, I forgot to mention initially when we were discussing it, we discussed in the context of the first sheet, though, that it would be a Shvei Pruta. We discussed the possibility of having a precedent or not having a precedent from the Suri Hana of Me'ila. What we did not discuss was the possibility of having a precedent, even though it's on the Koros, I forgot it, having precedent for the concept of Chiyuv Malkus Be'Koshu. And that we do have, it would seem, or at least potentially we have, in the case of Avodah Zarah. Right, in the case of Avodah Zarah, as the Rambam, as I brought on the Mepharsh, in the case of Avodah Zarah, the Rambam paskins that it's your Loke B'choshu. The clear assumption, I would say, let's say as an example for the Kivager, is that is not a precedent for, that's not a true indication of what Shir Hanah, the Chimalkos, is. Because that, you would say, is an exception, presumably based on Exeris Akasuv, lo yibak yatam mu'uma min acherim. Right? That it says mu'uma min acherim, so mu'uma is the textual, I would say, the textual anchor for this being an exception. As I quoted for you, the Midrash Tanaim says such a thing. In other words, the Rambam doesn't say where it is that you get it from, or it doesn't say shenemar mu'uma. He just says that the Malkus is Becholshu. But where do we know that from, and what is it based on, that already is not as clear. But if you assume that it's based on Me'uma Menacherim, like let's say the Medrash Tanaim, then you would say that it's not an absolute precedent. Presumably your Kivager would say that. Perhaps that indicates, that's just a technicality, perhaps it indicates a more general point regarding the nature of the Sarana of Avodah Zarah, and how it might be a little different than other Yisurah Noam. Another time, but either way, that would be a way to deflect that as a compelling precedent. It is somewhat of a question to what extent that really is just Exeris Akasuv. And presumably, if you hold like the Me'iri, the second Sada Safik of the Me'iri, you'll say that's actually not an exception. That's the normal, natural shear of Yisur Hanah L'Malkus. It is kosher. Okay, so that's just a point I wanted to mention. Which I forgot to discuss before. Secondly, and this is where we left off, in discussing the third opinion, the opinion that it would be Kezias, that you'd be located for Kezias, so we analyzed it somewhat, but what I wanted to address was the Raya that those who advocate this position bring. Those who advocate it suggest that this is Mucha, it has to be that there's a sheer Kezias for Hana. Because otherwise, they say, right, what was the Raya? Do you remember?
Pachas Mikazayas, then you get Malkus.
So the Nachila Pachas Mikazayas, right, for which you don't get Malkus, because we generally say Kazayas is required for Achila. Why should Kazayas be required for Achila if in the end, either way, it's Hanah? That's the question. And they say, therefore, you see from here that apparently you don't get Malkus for Hanah, Pachas Mikazayas. That's the rub. So here, I think there are two points to respond to in terms of deflecting that riot. Number one, I'm not sure why or how they know for a fact that it isn't so. You know, they assume you don't get Malkus for Hana'a in the case of Achila Pachos Mikazayas, and must be that to be Loke for Hana'a, you need to be Nana for Mikazayas. Right? Again, this is the I'll just read in the Slack. He says, Ani show after sharp post mishlok alana. This is the slach himself in Kufbeis Mevayish that gave you. Ani show al shir ha'ana lemachus pekama. Well, the maimar the emes in lo shir. The bishlama achila lo mikri pachus mikizayis of ha'ana mikri bechal shu. That was the basic argument we gave for that position, right? That was the analysis that we gave. That basically the shir kizayis is an exception with regard to achila, sort of a natural shir defining the pula as achila, and there is no such natural shear regarding another. That's the central argument he gives here, right? And king, kasha lamalei schai ha'ochel pachas mikizayis. The main nikra achila atumilo isbehana. V'akorchach tzarach lomar shagam alhana in aloke kiim mikizayis. Okay, but again, we're talking about is the shear enough for all these isuri achila hana, the isuri achila behana. Right? Again, he gives that as an explanation. What we discussed last time was, and that requires understanding and explanation. How do you, it's not a shir of hana. So we discussed last time, this could be a kind of an nekuda hanafla type point as well. But just the raya, I don't know where he sees, right? As far as I know, there's no clear explicit raya that in fact you don't get mankus. But that's the assumption. He says, you can't crush it, long as you sky about what the fuck. Maybe the answer is in Echinani. You do get Malchus. Lo mi baya, the Shitas Rabbi Kiva Eger, that, not the one that we're discussing now, but the Shitas Rabbi Kiva Eger that we discussed earlier, who held that every case, Ledas Halokim Behana, so then even Ha'ochel's Logeshtayim. I think there were push of the Rabbi Kiva Eger that Ha'ochel in general is Logeshtayim, that where there's no Kizayas, Lu Yitzuyar, that your Shir was kosher. You will be loke once for shir hana. In other words, generally speaking, you're loke shnayim, right? According to Rikiv Eger, he had objected to the Mishnah El Melech simply establishing his ever pashut that, you know, mikol makom das alokim, you're not going to get two makios for achila. Rikiv Eger says that's not true. Mechatesi, you do get two makios l'shitasam. So the chorus is ever pashut that if there's no shir kizayis, there will be malchus still on hana, so you don't get malchus for achila, but you would get malchus for hana. For his shita in particular, regarding shir, that would be dafka shvevruta, right? So in other words, for Rikiv Eger, just putting down the two different Rikiv Egers together. Number one, he holds that every ochel is also loke mishum nehne. Number two, he holds that the shir for hana is shvevruta. So then, what emerges is for Rikiv Eger, if your ochel a kizayis shegesh ba shvevruta, you'll get two makios. If you're ochel a kizayis belest behu shvevruta, that's this Rikiv Eger over here, you'll only get one makos. And then presumably it's a dor pasha, that he'll say if you're ochel a pachas mikizayis of caviar, which is thousands of pruta probably. I never bought it or had it, but I imagine that's what they say is very expensive, right? Then presumably according to Rikiv Eger, you may not be loke for kilo, but you still be loke for hana. Just the idea that this is obvious that you don't get malchus. I don't think it's obvious. In fact, I think it's clear for Rabbi Kiva Eger that you will get malchus. Even ladas hamishnah melech. Even ladas hamishnah melech. It is, I think, possible that you would still get malchus in a chinami, precisely because of this argument. Meaning, the mishnah melech's argument was you're not going to get two malchus, and the reason for that is because there's sort of an exception, hana iser, that which is being added on, you know, aside from achila, is defined as being, you know, in addition to achila, but that excludes achila, right? There was hana shelo adi achila. That was how he formulated it. Right? So iser hana is hana shelo adi achila. So one could simply say exactly what the Tzav says, namely, pachas mikizayis doesn't have a shem achila. Right, the theory of Yochanan, this is the way that many Rishonim understood Yochanan. Yochanan agrees to Rish Lakish's Achila Kizayis Bina Malekah. So Pachas Mikizayis has no shame Achila, but it is still Hana. And therefore, in Echinami, even the Mishnah Melech, who held that Ha'ochel, when it's Kizayis, gets Malkus for Achila, but not for Hana, will say, but Pachas Mikizayis, which is less lay shame achila, you will get malchus for us. I just don't know why their proof isn't just in Echinami. Yeah, you do get malchus there. That's number one. Number two, let's assume, no. You know, if lo shamanu then means that there would be no malchus. In particular, I think there's no way to get around this for Rabbi Kivager. Rabbi Kivager is going to be mechayev you even with no kazayis, at least provided, given his own shita regarding the shir hana, that it will be shvei pruta. But let's say you assume that isn't so. I think the first thing to point out here, explain why this is still it's still possible to reject this raya, is even according to those who assume that shir hanaos has a shir of shvei pruta, let's say like Rabbi Kivager. Even they agree that achila is kizayis. In other words, Kivager holds that shir hana is shvei pruta. Even he agrees that on achila, right, you get malchus if it's just kizayis. It's clear the shir of achila for these isuri achila behana is going to be kizayis below beinan shvei pruta. You require a kizayis for achila. We do not require shvei pruta. This is assumed in the Gemara, is in general, Gabe Chalmin to Pesach, it's clear, in the Gemara Beitza. Gabe Basar Bechalov, it's a Uchal Kazayas in Basar Bechalov. Rabbi Nechananel actually thinks that this is something which is either explicit in the Gemara or in the interpretation of the Gemara, and Shibus Chafal Fan Bezis. The Gemara seems to say we have a precedent for Pachas Mikazayas becoming Chayav for Achila, that's in Megillah, right? I don't think it gives you that in my course, but the Gemara in Shavuot says, "Varei anenim in a hekdesh, afilu pachas mikazayis chayav." So this is how the Rabbi Nechananel either interpreted the Gemara or he had in his Girsa Gemara. He says, "V'dachinan behekdesh beinan shvei pruta dechiva mishum hanav." Right, that you do have malchus the shvei pruta. You need shvei pruta and not kazayis. Actually, you don't need kazayis, and all you need is shvei pruta because that's mishum hanav. There's no question that whatever the shear of normal hana is, achila is kizayis. Even they agree, let's say, forget Rabbi Kivager, because again, he has his own shita regarding two malchios, which makes it somewhat difficult to just speak about his shita. But let's say, just take a second side of topic in the Meiri. Assume that shvei pruta is the shear for hana. Even he has to agree, just on the force of all the Gemaras, that is not required for achila. You don't require shvei pruta, kizayis sheyesh ba shvei pruta. Now the question becomes, why is that different than, let's say, mi'ila, where achila is, you know, that you do need a shvei pruta? And I think the answer is simple, which is, when a Torah iskira b'lashon achila, in other words, Torah asus hana, through achila, it has its cholik shein le'atmo. In other words, even if we in the end say that it's not just achila, but all hana is ne'asar, but nonetheless, the Torah is specifying and mentioning achila, still defines achila as sort of an act to be judged independently of its, you know, broader class of it is an act of hana, but it's an act to be judged as an act of achila. In other words, the Torah specifically mentions achila when it does that. It's cholek shein le'atzmo now to be judged and to be chayev as an act of achila, not simply sort of as an anonymous method of hana. It's not hana b'derech zo acher. When it's achila that's been given special recognition and chashivus in the language of the iser, so then it's cholek shein l'atzma, then it becomes something which is, if you want to say it this way, the Torah is motzia the hana ayde achila to be judged independently by the standards of an act of achila, not as a method of hana. That's as opposed to me'ila.
What? Do we have a parallel to that?
How broadly do you want to go? I mean, this is I think a self evident. Nobody thinks that you need shvei pruta to be chayav for achila, right? For the isuri hana. All I'm saying is, now you could have said, well, maybe that's just because it's very easy to argue this point if you don't think that achila is aser as a min hana. If you think, let's say that it just is, there are two things which are aser: there's hana or achila. That would be one way to get to this conclusion. I don't think you need to say that. I think even if you say, you know what, achila represents an example, right? Whether for the Rambam's Nekudin and Flaw type idea that it's really just achila and then you understand it as an example, or if you think achila, you know, the words actually mean hana, but even if so, it uses the lashon achila, that is, as I say, motzia ha'achila from just being an anonymous method of hana. The Torah itself calls it achila. So I think it just makes a lot of sense also that then you have to judge it on the standards of achila, even if sort of, you know, the general idea of achila is that it's a min hana, but it's being judged as an act of achila, not just on the standards of Anov. So that there's a difference between Me'ilah, where there's where the assumption only is that Me'ilah doesn't have an Azhara specifically. It's not clear what the Azhara is.
And for Malchus?
Yeah, for me. What about Malchus?
Meaning, like by Shabbos, we have like Achlachalik and stuff like that. So, if we hold that you you get Malchus for Hanah and Chametz, if you do it the Hel and Achas and stuff like that.
Well, hold on, now you agree with me. If you get Malchus for Hanah and Chametz, okay.
Meaning, if you hold that you get Malchus for Hanah and for Chametz.
Yeah, let's say Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah. So, and the Hel and Achas, you eat Chametz and your Nene from Chametz, do you get
Malchus? But Helim is a din of Shogi.
So would you bring Makar Bekarban? Oh, but you don't get Karis. You don't get Karis for Hanah. Never mind. That's not
right. So written. I mean, that's an issue. I think we mentioned it. Puzzles wonder about why that is, but you don't get
Karis. Right. So there's no practical.
I mean, never mind. Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure what the.
No, meaning like the. I was trying to use that as an afkamina for like. According to what you're saying right now, that even if it is sort of a paradigm of Hanah, the Torah sort of took it out of it to give it its own status. And it's
cool. I don't know if it's the intent of the Torah to give it its own status. That already, but the point is that once the Torah speaks in that way, that's how we're gonna, that's
right. So I mean, I'm just like the etzem, is it an iser? At its core, is it an iser Hanah?
Well, that we discussed. I think there are three possibilities. Meaning, it's either an iser achil, it's either an iser Hanah. That would be the most challenging for this. No, let's say if you take the semantic interpretation, just bringing back to what we've been discussing, right? If you take the semantic interpretation of Achal, let's say Ladas Rabbi Abo, or even Ladas Chizkiya, right? Yeah, Achal, as forbidding Hana, even so, there are other ways you could have maybe said the term, and maybe the fact that when the Torah does it this way, so that it also. And by the way, this is not unrelated to the fact to how it is that achila comes to mean hana, because as we noted, achila is hana. This is my argument was at least that nimtzu dvarecha ochlem, it's like to devour something as to partake in it.
Right.
As a metaphor, so you're at least the literal meaning is still achila. It's just that the method is being used as a metaphor for hana, right? So there's a dual meaning when you use a metaphor. There's the literal meaning and then there's the metaphorical meaning, right? There's still that literal. It didn't have to give it, communicate it using literal achila as the metaphor. Probably could have just said something like, "Well, Yehana or Lo Sahana." That's the Gemara actually even raises the possibility, or maybe some other way of conveying, like it did in Me'ila, or it did in Avodah Zarah, right? Like Yidbak Miyudchak Yabach from Menacherim, whatever Lo Sabitavah Besach, whatever the nature of the formulation would be. It didn't have to be that you were communicating even Yehana through achila. So once it's so, then achila is to be judged as achila, to be judged as on the terms of achila, on the standards of achila, the shirik of achila. The different conceptions of what the iser in the end is, what the dabar shemuzar love the way I formulated it is, that would be the most challenging way to square with this point. This understanding that what we have here is simply the Torah is telling us don't be nan, but still the fact is that it used achila to explain that. But that was the most challenging way, and then the other ones are more simple.
Right,
you hold that the semantically really does mean eating, and then somehow it either is either eating or, right, that was the middle approach, was it means either ochel or hona, right, like the, we suggested as a possibility that it's echad achila, echad isar achila, I think the Arayim probably understands it, echad isar achila, echad isar adaba mashma, it means either or, right? So if it's one isar, you're saying the isar is don't be nana nor eat it, then that works perfectly. Of course, then achila is going to be judged as not on the standards of hana, but on the standards of achila, because it actually really is something separate. Even on the Rambam's view, right, which is that it really does mean achila, eating, but nonetheless conveys, we can see from the way the Torah, otherwise treats Yisuri achila, that it always licenses the hana. If it is hana, then in the end we're understanding achila is just one example. It's not being used metaphorically. I mean, the word means eating, but it's being used as one example of things which are usher, right? So then, that's very, I think, then it's very compelling to say, okay, so why that example, the fact that the Torah uses achila, so it conveys to us that achilos we judge as an act of achila, even not in the standard of anah. Right? In other words, once the Torah says, you know, even if I say it's a method of anah, but it's a achila method of anah, so then is it achila? Is it in fact an achila? Once it's achila, then that'll be sufficient. If it's right, so in other words, it's both sufficient, necessary, and sufficient just to be judged as an act of achila. Sorry. That's as opposed to achila of, let's say, is an example, again, mi'ila, where you do need a shvei pruta, but that's because it's just an anonymous method of hana. All the Torah says, whatever the Azari is, we understand it to say, don't be nana, right? So once it's so, don't be nana, so then, all right, achila is one method of hana, it doesn't need to be an achila, and therefore it won't be judged, it does need to be just hana. And therefore, that's a difference. Again, you know, just the Gemara is already make it untenable to say anything else. It's clear you need a kazayas to be, for achilas chametz, it would need to be kazayas. It's clear you need kazayas for basar chalav. Also, kazayas need basar chalav. These are all clear. So that's number one. That's just pointing this out. Again, what I'm trying to show is how we can reject the raya that hana requires kazayas, because otherwise the assumption is that you're not loka on achila pakas kazayas, we're accepting that. Why that's not though a raya that hana requires kazayas. Okay, you know, hana generally does not require kazayas. Nonetheless, you won't be lokya for achila pakas kazayas. So the second premise here to say, what you would need to add in is just that this hotza of achila, removing, you know, the act of achila from being judged on standards of hana, instead being judged on its own standards of being kazayas, that applies to ochel pakas kazayas as well. We say that, you know, we're going to judge, assess achila, again, even in the most extreme form, even if what the Torah is conveying us here is, you know, just the lashon of the Torah is saying, don't be nana, but the way it says it indicates to us that we're judging the act of achila as an act of achila, right? That was the premise number one. That applies even when the achila is pachas mikazayas. Now, this is obviously going to be jerulomi baya, according to the Ra'im, which I mentioned to you guys, Reliyam Zafrin's parish on the smag, who held that Ladas Riochan disagrees with Resh Lakish and thinks that, right, Resh Lakish says that there's no Isser Chatzis Shirman Torah because the Pasuk says Achila, the Kazayas, right, Leka Achila. He argues, or Rabbi Elazar Rafi argues, that Ladas Riochan, that isn't true. There is Mais Achila even Bepachos Mikazayas. He doesn't agree with that point. Achila is whatever. You know, it's just a question of how much you eat, not a question of whether you're eating. So it's not true, says Rabbi Yochanan, according to the Ra'im, let's say, that when the Torah says ochel, it refers to an act of kezias. Even pachas mikezias is nikra achila. Then, if you say that, for sure, it makes sense to say that when, therefore, the Torah accepts with an e, right? I don't know if that's a word. It makes an exception of achila to be judged not on the standards of generally Suri Hana activities, but as an act of achila. When it accepts it, it's going to therefore be accepting also from the Makos Mishum Hana Achila, even if it's Pachas Mikzayas. In other words, inasmuch as, according to the Rabbi Zarach, you're engaged in an act of Achila, so then whether you get Makos for the Hana is going to be dependent on the standards of Achila, not the standards of Hana, because you're in the middle of an act of Achila. Right? And the act of Achila having been accepted, having been and made an exception, has its standards of Kazayas, not what we're arguing now, right? Kosher, let's say, or Shvei Bruta, right? So I'm just putting two things together, right? If you accept the basic point, which again I take to be the Rakasha L'Huliyama, that Achila has been made an exception to the standards of Anah, assuming that the standards of Anah are not itself a Kazayas, it's obvious though that Achila, for whatever reason, has been made an exception that it's judged purely on whether it's an act of Achila. It requires Kazayas, but it doesn't require anything but Kazayas. So putting that together with Rabbi Eliezer Mizrahi, right, his understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, of Chatzis Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan thinks you are being ochel when you're eating pachas mikzayis, so then I think it's obvious you don't get makos for the ana of the achila pachas mikzayis, because you're in the middle of an act which has been accepted, has been made an exception of, in terms of the standards by which it's going to be judged, to be chai makos. Right? Everybody follow that? Anybody? Moshe? Arya? No? Not so much? All right, so let me make it a little clearer. Again, what I'm trying to do is accept the premise, accept the proposition which the Achronim here assume, that you don't in fact get Malkus for being Ochal Pachus Mikazayas, Midi Hanaa, even though she gets Alokim Alana. But if you're Ochal Pachus Mikazayas, you don't get Malkus, assuming that's true, and explaining how that's possible even if you generally think you don't require Shirkazayas for Hanaa. Again, they're trying to prove, oh, you see, and therefore what obviously must be the case is that you require Kazayas for Hanaa. Otherwise, why would Achila Pachus Mikashir not be Lokim Mishum Hanaa? Right? Everybody follows what I'm trying to do here? Moshe, yes, no? Again, what was the raya of the, you know, we do the tzlach, and I think Mishum Hanaa also has it, right? Right, that it must be that you're only loke for kizayis, being nena mi kizayis. L'das halokim al hana, the raya was, otherwise you should be getting malchus for achila pachas mi kizayis. Now their assumption is that you don't get malchus for that. Because otherwise we would hear that there's an exception for isuri achila. I guess their point was, you know, otherwise we should hear about it, that, you know, achila's b'kizayis, achila's b'kizayis, it's always, you know, what we're told. But if it's true that on the isuri achila, which are also nes of hana, right, that you get malchus even if it's not kizayis, mishum nena, so then we should hear about that. Okay, assuming that it's true that you don't get malchus, so they say, so you see, it must be that you don't get malchus for being nena from less than a kizayis. Again, because otherwise, so achila pachas mikizayis should be loke mishum hana. That was the issue that we're dealing with. So I'm trying to show to deflect that riot. Everybody good so far? Are you good so far? So my first point is just to point out that even if you think that, let's say, the shir hana is shvekruta in general, right? That if, let's say, you're nana some other way besides achila, then it's got to be shvekruta. Kizayis is not relevant. Everybody agrees though that achila, the gabe, these surim, these are suri achila behana, the malchus for achila is determined only by kizayis. You don't need shvekruta. Okay? And in terms of just how to explain that, I said it's easy to explain on certain conceptions, even on the one that's the most seemingly inconsistent with this point, right? This is what I was talking to make clarifying, right? The idea that, let's say, with the Torah, when it says lo ya'achal or lo sochal, it means don't be nen. Right? Even on that view, but still, the way it has conveyed it is through, at the very least, the literal language of achila. And once the Torah specifies the act of achila, I'm arguing, even if it's only to use it as a metaphor, but even so, there are other ways to have done it. Once the Torah specifies the act of achila, that kind of assigns achila as an exception. It makes it an exception to the general standards. It's not an anonymous act, anonymous method of getting hana. It's not just any kind of way you can get hana. It's specifically an act of achila. And therefore, whether you're going to be loket for having done so, it's going to be judged on the standards of isuri achila and not on the standards of hana. Right? That's simply an explanation of a fact which is true, l'chuliyama, that you don't require shveipruta. Right? You do not require shveipruta for achila, even if you think, like the second side of the mi'iri, or the first side of the mi'iri, if I recall correctly, that hana'a, right, requires shveipruta. It's clear, just from the Gemaras, that you don't require shveipruta for achila. Everybody good so far? Right? Now, taking that fact, what I'm arguing is that can also, if we just add a premise, that will also be the explanation for why there's no malchus, even if it's pachas mikazayis. And my first shot at this is to say that's obviously true if you think that achila pachas mikazayis still has a shem achila. It's still considered to be an act of achila. So then you're just putting two things together. When you're engaged in an act of achila, the Torah says that's to be judged by the standards of achila, not of just as a min hana, as one way of doing hana. It's achila. And therefore, it's to be judged as an act of achila. If we assume that you are engaged in an act of achila now, right, then you will not be judged on the standards of hana, but rather as achila. Again, even if it's an exception, it's still an exception. Right? Now, even if, let's say, you know, the general idea is don't be nana, but the Torah's specifying achila makes it that when you do this hana the achila, so it's going to be judged as an act of achila and with the standards of achila. So what I'm saying now is that it's clear you are engaged in an act of achila to be judged, therefore, on the exceptional standards of achila, of din kazayis b'achila, not on hana, according to Rabbi Eliyahu of Mizrahi, right, who held that was the whole reason Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish, is because he thinks that achila, the act of achila, legal act of achila, to be engaged in it, does not require a particular quantity. Any kind of achila, of anything, it still has a shame achila. That's why you violate it, according to Rabbi Yochanan. The only reason, you just need malka, you just need kazayis for quantity of chashivas, only as a separate din of halachos rishina. It's one way that it's associated with Rabbi Mizrahi, an early commentator on the Smag. Also, Rabbi Mizrahi from Rashi. It's one of the two ways to view the response of Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish. Not, you know, enechinami, there's no achilu b'kachos mikazayis, but afal pichein, it's still usher because of something else, because of kol or because of tzufa, whatever. No, he thinks that that's not true. There is achilu b'kachos mikazayis. That's an act of achilu. Once you say that, I think it follows, given the first premise, that you will not be getting malchus for achilu b'kachos mikazayis. Even if, generally speaking, the standard of shir for hana is, let's say, kol shu, or shvei pruta, none of that will matter for achila. And with Rabbi Yalav Jaffa, it's clear, when you eat, even pachas mikizayis, you're still engaged in an act of achila. And therefore, it's only going to be judged in terms of whether or not it gets makos, was it enough to be chayav makos as an act of achila or not? That seems like that emerges clearly, right? I'm engaged in achila. According to, let's say, Rabbi Elazar ben Zarach, as I'm saying, I am engaged in an act of achila. And therefore, at that moment, the Torah says, okay, so set aside the general standards that we judge hanaf by. Now we're not dealing with just an anonymous act of hana, we're dealing actually with this particular act which has its own legal standards, achila, and whose own legal standards are controlling here, at the very least. That's why, you know, the Torah specified achila, mentions, you know, eating, or at least uses the literal term achila to represent hana, but so it gives us its own independent standards to judge an act of eating upon. So that's what you're engaged in now, and therefore you won't be getting makos, even if, to be named in some other way, you would be getting makos even b'choshu. When it comes to achila, when you're engaged in an act of achila, you're going to be judged only as an act of achila. You need to be an act of achila to become chai makos. That's just what the Torah did in treating it separately. Everybody follow now? Better? Moshe, yeah? Danny? But one could say, okay, that only, however, works for Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi. Because if you hold, let's say, as I've said, most of the Shonim that actually come clearly in this go in the other direction. If you hold that, no, Rabbi Yochanan also agrees that Achila Pachim Exayas is Lav Shmei Achila, so then you could argue, then you can't make this. Then the rye is still good, because at that point you're not yet engaged in the legal act which has been separated out and given its own standards. You're simply engaged in a method of deriving hana, and therefore even though it doesn't qualify the standards of shirim of kizayis to be loka for achila, it still should be judged as an act of hana, and therefore you should be getting malchus. Right, that was the argument of the Tzlach, as I read before. He really does, you know, pin his question using the language of the anti-Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi view. Right? He says that you can't say that ain lo shir, the bishlama achila lo mikre to tachos mikizayis al v'hana mikre b'choshu. In Cain, kasha lama lo yischai v'ochal tachos mikizayis, the Tzlach's formulation of the question. In Cain, kasha lama lo yischai v'ochal tachos mikizayis v'im ainu nikre achila atamilo. Is Behana? Right? So he's asking the question from the perspective of really the anti-Rabbi Yochanan, meaning, given that it isn't Bechlal Achila, so shouldn't we at least be, maybe he didn't have this in mind, but I'm just adding, right? Should, given that this act is not an act of Achila, so granted that if you were engaged in an act of Achila, then the general standards of Hana are not governing, rather the standards of Mais Achila are governing, but here you're not engaged in an act of Achila. Shouldn't it be at the very least like any other kind of hana? And therefore, if it were true that you get hana, the pachas mikizayis, you should be getting hana. That's the point. That's the issue. And I would argue no. That even then, I think it's still possible to make this argument, to argue, to deflect the raya. Because even according to those who think that it isn't an act of achila b'pachas mikazayis, but they still could argue that it's not an act of achila in and of itself, but it's still haskalas achila. Now, this is part of a broader point regarding, in general, pe'ulos that involve a certain shear, to be defined as, you know, it needs to be a certain shear in order to be defined as a certain kind of legal act. What is the nature of what you do on the way to get there? This is most famously, I think, the question important to most regarding the shechita. The Gemara asks, Bavukam and elsewhere, Zvachim, Chumim, Yeshna shechita mitchil batzof. What is that question? So that question, Lechora, is precisely this point. Namely, you have, the assumption is, a Maisa Shechita in and of itself requires Shnei Simanim Behema Simen Echa Be'ov, or say Rove Shnei Simanim Rove Simen Echa Be'ov. What about cutting through the neck of Neveshet, let's say, on the way to getting Rove Simanim? What's this, the nature of that? So, Lechora, here, you find this notion of Haskalas HaPa'ula. Meaning, if you hold Yeshna Shechita Mitzvah itself, what that means is not that it's independently an act of Shechita, Lechora, but rather you're engaged in an act of Shechita. It's not that what you've done so far is Shechita. And if we had to stop it right here, we'd say you did Shechita. But you're defined as in being engaged in an act of Shechita, Haskalas Shechita you have here. And as an example, that would be Nafka Mina for a din, which is mentioned in the Gemara Zvachim and elsewhere. Right, we have a general halakha of machshirin. For tumas altman, you need to have, there's a custom, it says in the pasuk, hefsher alayday mashke. Now, there's only seven mashkin which are machshirin. Dam is one of them, but only certain types of dam. It has to be dam shchita, not dam maka. Okay? So, that's what the Gemara suggests. Let's say dam hayotze, after I've only cut one of the simanim, that's still defined as dam shchita, not dam maka. That's what the Gemara says is a nafkamina for the din. As an example, the nafkamina of Rabbi Yochanan Rishach's argument regarding yeshna shchita mitzvah batzof. If you hold the yeshna shchita mitzvah batzof, then you're going to say that's dam shchita, not dam maka. This is one example. Another example, there's a din that machshavas paselas only if you're doing one of the arba avodos, one of which is shchita. So, is Mashava Poselus, and let's say if I have the Chatzi Kana Rishon, as an example, let's say even the whole Kana, I'm shechting the animal, the Behemoth Kachim, and I think I'm going to eat this 3 days from now. That's actually people, right? So, if I think I'm going to eat, right, Mashava Skutz's Mano is people, makes it people, it's your carcass. So, have I committed an aveir of being Mephangel, the animal, Pigel, if I had in mind a machsheves posel, haposelus, in, let's say, the first kana. So the Gemara says this is dependent on the question of yeshna al-shchita mitzvah batzof or en al-shchita el vasof. If you hold yeshna al-shchita mitzvah batzof, so then yes. Again, the idea is not that you perpetrated an act of shchita here that you haven't done until you do all to see money, but you're engaged in an act of shchita. And therefore, having been engaged in an act of shchita, so machshava, that during that period is poselus. Okay? And there are other implications of this idea, but just as an example, and Rosh Hashanah actually said this himself, Rabbi Tam says this, but this is a question you can ask about pulos in general that have a certain shear involving a quantity that they end up with. What's the nature of the activity all the way up until that? As an example, Rabbi Tam mentions, he thinks that this is the question of the Gemara, Tchilos Biyakon or Sof Biyakonah, the Gemara introduction on Daf Yud, he thinks that that's exactly the parallel question. It's basically Yeshna Labia. Let's assume that the halacha is that the din is Hafmesas Ha'atara, not Nishikas Eber, and is defined as an act of Bia. So what do you say about Minishikas Eber Ad Hafmesas Ha'atara? That's the din. Tchilas Bia Sofia Kana Mishas Nishikas Eber until Hafmesas Ha'atara. Is that, are you engaged in an act of Bia there or not? What is the nature of the activity until then? Are you engaged? Not have you done it. If you stop there, you won't be married. But if you don't stop there, let's say if you continue on, at that point, were you engaged in an act of bia or not? So it says Rebbe, that's the question there. One can also add, as an example, let's say kriyas bor, assuming bor tes, let's say, or bor yud, is defined as a bor. Pachus means that it's not a bor, right? So that it's a kind of parallel activity here where you have a pu'ula which involves a quantity to be defined as that pu'ula. So is the, let's say, kora, you know, from, you know, let's say 0 till 7 or 8, Is he defined as being a korabor or not? So that, I think, is possibly a focus. That could be how you understand the, you know, different opinions regarding kriyas, regarding shnayim shechaf kabor, the sugya of Baba Kama. There's another example where even if I haven't committed an entire act, right, so I haven't authored an entire act, what I've done is not constitute an act of shechita, but it's what I would say tchilas shechita, or tchilas bio, or tchilas kriya, I'm engaged in that act, even if I haven't yet perpetrated one. So if that's true, I think one could suggest that achila, even if you say that achila does require kezias to be defined as achila, but what you're doing up until then is still being osek b'achila. You're still engaged in an act of achila. It's not that until you get to that magical number of kezias, so then you're just, you know, big nana in some kind of anonymous way. You're still engaged in an act of achila. You're in the process of achila. If you stop now, what you've done is not achila. It's haschalas achila. But it's still you started achila. I think that, therefore, that would be a simple deflection of the raya. If you assume that the hanah does not have a shear of how much hanah it has to be, it doesn't require hanah from a kezias. So why is an achila papas mikezias loke then? So the answer is because achila has been made an exception to be governed by the standards of an act of achila, not by some method of getting hanah. And even if I say that to be defined as an act of achila, you need to have a kezias. Pachus mikezias is still engaged in achila. You're still engaged in an act of achila. You haven't completed an act of achila, but it's mitzvah achila. It's haschala achila, and that also then gets, I would say, the exception that what's been treated separately by the pasuk as an act of achila. Even when you start the process of achila, even though you have not completed a process of achila, if you don't continue on to kezias, still the initial act itself is still a haschala achila. By the way, that's also how some understand Chazil Tzrufe. Svara of Chazil Tzrufe is that even though Achila Leka, but Asfalas Achila Ika, right? If I stop now, I'm engaged in an act of Achila, but I haven't committed an act of Achila, but you could say I was engaged in the Mitzvah Achila. I have started an act of Achila. You started, you didn't finish. So I haven't been Shochet, but I was engaged in an act of Achila, right? So I think similarly, you would say here, that the deflection of this raya is that when you're in the parsha of achila, so as we've said, for whatever reason, however you understand the overall davar shemuzar love, the fact that the Torah uses lashon that at least a literal meaning refers to eating means that it's going to be governed by the standards of the act of achila, which is kezias, and not by general standards of hanah, because the Torah specifies this one to sort of give it its own chain, its own chashivas. A. And B, anytime you engage in even the asfalas achila, you're then going to be judged by that different parsha, by the standards of achila, and therefore you won't get malchus if it's pachus mikashir for hana, even though pachus mikashir, you might say, should be considered an act of hana, but it's not going to be governed by standards of hana, it's going to be governed by standards of achila. Everybody good? So I think that is how you would be doka that raya. We can speak more after. Now, the last point I wanted to speak about concerns not so much the question of shear per se, but more the major issues that emerges from that question, namely the kinds of hana that is forbidden. Because as we discussed regarding the saying shvei pruta or not shvei pruta, one major question that could be at issue in that machlokas, or if you don't agree with the kivager, maybe what you're disagreeing about is whether or not hana needs to be specifically financial benefit. Right? If you disagree with Rabbi Kivager, let's say if you think it's koshu, probably the argument you're going to have, one we suggested that it's possible we might say even hana, pachlas mi shvei pruta, can still be considered monetary benefit. After all, I can package it with other things and then benefit from the overall package, and maybe therefore I would say that also is, it also can be considered a hana of monetary significance. Alternatively, we suggested maybe not all benefit has to be monetary benefit. It's not true that all benefit that has been forbidden has to be reducible and reduced to monetary benefit. How much was it worth it to you? If the answer is it wasn't worth anything to you, that's not enough. Maybe the answer is no, that's not true, because, as we said, there's two kinds of enough. There's financial benefit, but there's also the sheer physical gratification and satisfaction. That's independent from its being reducible to shvei pruta, to monetary benefit, and therefore it doesn't require Shvipusta, right? That was what we had suggested, correct? Everybody follow? Right, that seems to be what that Shita suggests. If you don't think Shvipusta is the governing standard, the idea seems to be that Hana is not necessarily all reducible to monetary Hana. There's also just sheer physical gratification, and that doesn't require, obviously, Shvipusta, because we're not talking about financial benefit. That issue of the content of the Hana and whether or not it's, you know, monetary Hana or not, I think we find that there's a shita that goes much further than simply disagreeing with the basic point that all Hana has to be monetary Hana. There's a shita that seems to suggest, actually, that monetary Hana actually isn't even usher at all. The only Hana is Hana Saguf, is satisfaction, physical satisfaction. The truth is, you understand the pressure to say such a thing, because it isn't clear if you think that there are these two different standards of Hana. There seem to be two very different things. There's monetary benefit, financial benefit, and then there's physical satisfaction. To say that both of them are usur under Hana is not impossible. In fact, I think that's what we probably generally assume. But there's a pressure there, because they're not really all that related, other than the fact that you can call both of them in Hebrew Hana. There's physical gratification and there's monetary benefit. They mean two different things. But in Hebrew, they do both come under the term Hana. But one could say, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. And in fact, that's what we have. Several shitas that actually do limit the Hana, which asers, to Hana Saguf. Right? This is the position of the Ram, the Shita of the Lumi. Anybody have the actual text here? Right.
Okay,
so that's the kasha, right? But basically, what he seems to be suggesting is financial benefit is not a relevant kind of benefit. It has to be some sort of gratification. But simply, you know, getting financial benefit from selling it, that's not what we're talking about. You have to be physically benefiting, being gratified by the physical conditions. So that is clearly, you know, cuts against exactly the point that Rikki Vager assumed, right? Namely, that everything is Shvipusta. It also cuts against the idea, as you suggested, that there, both of them fall under Hana. I pointed out to you, I gave him Marakomas, that he's not the only one to say this. People cite it as the Rush, but before the Rush, it was the Tosas Rid. The Tosas Rid in the Dharm, Gemara there is discussing whether there's an Isser or Heder for Chilufe Isur Hana, and the standard interpretation of that is it's talking about Im Avar ve Nehene, let's say for Mechira, so is it Topes Dama? Is it permissible or impermissible to use those Dama themselves? Or to benefit from having done so, from having transacted illegally with the Isur Hana? The Tosas Rid there, as well as the Rush, they both seem to think that the question of Chilufe is whether or not it's mutter to do so l'chatchila. Is it mutter to sell it or not? And the possibility that you would say that it's mutter means that selling it, right, which is just purely financial benefit, but not any kind of physical gratification from the body of the thing, that is not usur in the cases of Isur Hana. Now, the problem with this is what the Shin Nadulami says, and most of this point out, which is that this seems to be clearly refuted by, it seems to be impossible to square with our Gemara. Why? In what way? This is what Shadil Nadulami points out.
Oh, the
veil
you're saying.
Right. The Gemara says that how do I know something is not Usur B'Hana? When the Torah says, right, that you can be Mochel and Nafri, why is it saying that? It must be because it's showing you that, telling you that it's not Usur B'Hana. Well, if I don't violate the Isur Hana, even if I sell it to Nafri, so then how does that tell me that? You haven't told me I can be Nehenet. You've told me something which doesn't violate Hana. That's a very serious problem. That's exactly what Shneel and me asked. Do you want to read it? Yeah. So, I didn't give you guys any courage to pursue this. I'll just mention one answer which I think doesn't really work so well. And I think he pointed it out himself. But if you look at Kovitz Shirim in Pesachim, Simin Tzadik Dalet, so he suggests that what you have, to say for the Ramban, for the Rush, is that it's not Raya that it's Mutar B'Hana from the fact that the Torah says you can sell it, it's from the fact that it's called a Mechira. And the assumption is that it's impossible to sell. It's not valid, legally valid. You cannot sell Isuri Ana because it's in a Bashuska, it's not really yours perhaps, and therefore if it's something is Asur Banan, you can't legally sell it. So therefore the fact that the Torah says that you can be Mokel Anafri, so it's not that that would otherwise be Asur, it just otherwise wouldn't be possible to do so,
right, if you hold it. Now,
that's good only if you assume that that...
It's not yours.
What?
That's only assumed. It's not yours. What do you say?
Well, it's that only... Right. I mean, it's only if you assume that, in fact, you cannot validly sell Isuri Ana. And if I go correctly, the commissioner himself points out, and it's a very popular thing to say. The Kso says it, I believe. And they say that's what the Yisod of Shnei Dvarim Ein B'Shus Shosh Adam, that's why Yivav Shaus Ulamala, you can't be Mevapel anymore because it's not B'Shus to sell, to do anything with. There's a lot of counter evidence for that, explicit. That's a topic which I'm not sure if we're going to end up getting into about being able to sell Isuri Ana. But the Mishnah says, Machram Demeyan Yukadeshes. The Mishnah says that if I sell Isuri Ana, so then I can use, right, for everything, but Shvi'is and Avodah Zarah, so the Dhamma and Tarn, so I'm talking about selling. So the truth is that Yerushalmi was bothered by this, but in the end Yerushalmi says, and says, maybe it's selling to an Afri. At the very least, it's possible to sell it to people to whom it is not Nesar. That is explicit in Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi will quote that. So that's a topic in its own right. What is associated with it? It's a good question. But in terms of what we're discussing, that wouldn't be, I think, a very good answer then, given that that's true. For this question, it's not the case that if it's Asur Bana, there's no possible way to be Moher. It's still possible to be Moher. So therefore, the fact that Torah calls it Mechira is not necessarily a good answer is not necessarily proof that it's not Asur Bana. I have a different answer to this question, which I'll suggest in the context of the next year. So I will get back to it. I don't want to leave you guys hanging too much. But this is the last thing I wanted to mention in this connection, is that the Mishnah Melech, accepting the standard view that Mechira, which is purely financial benefit from something, also violates the Isur Hana, nonetheless does have an echo of the Ram and the Rush. It's true you violate either way, but maybe there's still a distinction. What does he say? Anybody see? Mishnah Melech? He suggests maybe you won't get Malkus, though, for purely financial benefit. Maybe the only thing you'll get Malkus for is Anasa Guf. Now, that's a fascinating suggestion.
Did he say, and also it says from the fact that Pasuk says Mechir Nesina? Right? Did he say that then, or not?
Therefore, you know it's Usher.
Well, I thought, that came to tell us that would be Mutter, I thought. Then.
No, there's different. Right, but that fact tells you that therefore it must be clearly you can't accept the sheet as a ram.
Yeah.
I think he even quotes the rush in Nedarim. Therefore, you can't accept the sheet of the ram and the rush in Nedarim that it's not usur to do, that you don't violate the isur hana. But I think he's suggesting that the same piece. He suggests, but maybe you only get malchus though for the physical gratification, not for the purely financial benefit. And I think that the explanation for that would be on the assumption that if you only get malchus for that which is for shakra, you might say implicit in the pasuk is hana dum yudachila, some sort of physical gratification, hana saguk. It's true, it's clear, we see from the fact that Gemara says that this licenses hana in the other cases because it's mutter the self, that also violates, but nonetheless, there's an akamina in terms of malchus, because you're only going to be loke for, there's two different dinim here essentially. There's a din of hana zaguf, and there's a din of kveger type hana, of monetary benefit. Both of them are aser, again, contrary to Rabbi Kveger on the one hand, right, that only monetary benefit is really aser, that's how we analyze it. And contrary, on the other hand, to the Ram and the Rush and the Nedarim, and the written Nedarim, that only physical gratification is forbidden. They're both forbidden. But one of them is actually more implicit. It's two different dinim. One of them is more implicit in the pasuk. That is the physical gratification, ki'ein hanas haguf abachila. And therefore, he says you're going to be loke for one or not the other. That's a fascinating. I've not seen anybody, except for the Mishnah Melech, actually say that. It's his suggestion, and I think that's how you would understand it as first of all, recognition of the dual aspect here of hana, that on the one hand, we're talking about monetary benefit, on the other hand, we're also talking about physical gratification. Each independently does violate the Isur as opposed to these other sheetahs we've seen. But they're very different, and actually that difference is reflected in the Malkus explanation, being that Malkus is dafka something which is more mefurish for like the Rambam, but we'll draw the line now between hanos ke'ein, the hanos agufa of achila, not the financial benefit. So that's just to put the last point on this matter. Bez Hashem, we'll start next topic, discussing, going back to the mission now. So we discuss the Yisra Hanah, now we'll go to the Mishnah and we'll discuss the other things, including first the Achala, the Yisra of Achala Klavim. And part of the question is going to be is to what extent that's just another method of Hanah, or perhaps something else, and the issue upon which that may depend is which Klavim are we talking about. And that's why I gave him a course about Kabbalah Hefker, whether or not it's okay. Everybody good? Any questions?